We are going today return to our series through the book of Revelation. Do y'all remember we were in that book? It was actually 7 weeks ago that we were last in the book of Revelation, and that was on June 1st. And I want you to turn to the last book in Scripture, and then I'm going to catch up to you here in just a minute. And as you are looking for that last book, if you get to the maps, you've gone too far, so hang a left. But in the last book of Revelation, I want to show you something that was really neat yesterday. So on June 1st, that is the last Sunday that we were in the book, and so it's been 7 weeks. So I went to my last, my last slides for Revelation and where we were. And let me show you what popped up from June 1st, 7 weeks ago. It was on June 1st. This is left over from 7 weeks ago. On June 1st, I went to my slides, update slides for the sermon today. And I thought, oh wow, the last time we were in the book of Revelation was Cassandra's first Sunday here at Mountain View Baptist Church. So let me say this. I hope that you would agree with me that while we said we're so happy and thankful you were here 7 weeks ago, can I tell you 7 weeks later, that statement is still very, very true. Very, very thankful that God sent Cassandra here to Mountain View. Already can't imagine the church without her. And I'm just going to tell you, I just really believe that God has got some things in store. I don't think He would have sent her the right person, the right time, but we've been praying. He sent a lot of new people here, a lot of new things, new VBS this year. And I just think He's got something in store for this place called Mountain View Baptist Church that's been here since 1895. I really think He does. So I'm so excited about that. And I saw that. I thought, I'm just going to leave it up there today. So June 1st is the last time we were in the book of Revelation. Now let's look there to the book. I have creatively entitled this sermon series, The Last Book. You wonder, where did you get that from? I'm just a genius. But out of 66 books in the Bible, this is number 66. And so we are in the book of Revelation. As you are now at that location, let me remind you of the purposes of the book. One of my great fears in Revelation is you get so caught up in the images and caught up in things with the Antichrist and Mark of the Beast and all that, that you forget the primary reason it's in your Bible. So here we go again. And if you are counting, this is sermon number 91 in the book of Revelation. I told you when we started, it's going to probably be about 140 sermons. We're still on track for that, so I have not yet lied in that regard. Purpose of the book is to encourage believers when you endure persecution. And one of the ways I believe John does that, Holy Spirit leading him, is point number two, to remind us that even when it seems like God is not in control, it seems like the world is flying apart, it seems like evil is winning, that every politician has lost his or her mind, that laws are passed contrary to common sense, when that happens across this land, across this globe, we know one thing: God is in complete control of all future events, and I promise you, victory is assured. Okay? So those are some primary purposes of the book. Now, what I'm going to do today, I know we're going to be in chapter 16. We are turning into a significant portion of the book. And so you can meet me there in chapter 16. We're going to get through maybe one or two verses today. It is going to take me a little bit of time to give us a running start. We are transitioning into the last phase of judgment. And because of that, I've got to show you where we have been so you keep it in context as we look at it. So where we are in the middle of the book of Revelation is it's in what's called the Great Tribulation. In these chapters, which forms a bulk of the book, you are looking at Earth's final 7 years. First half of the tribulation is not real bad. We've got a world leader on the stage. He's charismatic. He's probably handsome. He is intelligent. And he's making some decisions. He comes across as a person of peace. And so folks come off of their guard and they start to follow him. They're like, things are looking up. Things are looking good, right? Stock market's good right now. Jobs are good. Unemployment rate's real low. Like, things are good, right? now. And then the midpoint of that 7-year period is when everything changes. The last 3.5 years of that period of time, you've got an Antichrist figure, and it is almost, no, not quite, almost going to become a little bit hellish on earth. Okay? Really, really bad. So let me kind of give you a running start. I tried to summarize. It took me forever last night trying to get all this summarized so you keep the context for chapter 16. Great tribulation period. Okay? 3 series of judgments. You've got a scroll back in chapter 4, I believe, a scroll, chapter 4 and 5, that has 7 seals on it. And when the Lamb arises to break those seals, each of those seals reveals more and more of God's plan for the end of time and judgment. Now, from those scrolls, you go into 7 trumpet blasts that also end up signifying, you know, more judgment on the earth. And from those trumpet blasts, you end up with 7 bowls of wrath. Now, where we are today in chapter 16 is the 7 bowls of wrath. But I wanted to go back and kind of show you how this works again. It's been so long since we've looked at this. So I want you to keep it in mind this way. These different series of judgments all comprise a 7-year period of this great tribulation. Basically, the first 6 seals are broken. The 7th seal is what welcomes in the trumpets. 6 trumpets are blown with judgment, which I'm going to show you in just a minute. The 7th trumpet then welcomes in these bowls of wrath. Now, here's where we've been with judgment so far with these seals. And what happens with this... Oops, I must hit the wrong button here. Okay, hold on just a second. What happens... Everything's got thrown off this morning. What happens with this is as the judgments are unveiled, they increase in intensity. So the birth pains grow stronger. As we get closer and closer to the birth of the final birth, the final finale here with the judgment. With the different judgments, the seals end up affecting about 1/4 of the earth. The trumpets end up affecting about 1/3 of the earth. And when you get to the bowls, there is no limitation. Okay, so increasing in intensity as judgment unfolds. Now, what I wanted to show you, which I put up accidentally just now, when you think about judgment, I want you to think about it this way, and it's just a statement I came across this week that may help us. God will simply let the world have its own way. But here's a problem with that. When the world gets what it wants, it will not want what it gets. Now, I want you to think about this just a minute. I've said this many times through the years. Sometimes, I think you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes the very worst thing God can do for us is give us exactly what we want. Okay? Think about our country right now, right? The Bible says in Romans, is it chapter 1 or 2, somewhere in there, that when mankind turns away from God, He gives them over. So if you clamor and clamor and crawl your way and you're trying so hard to reject God, at some point it's like, all right, I'll give you what you want. And that's what's going to happen now with these judgments in Revelation. For the longest time, people are saying, we don't want God. We don't want righteousness. We don't want anybody telling us what's right or wrong. We want to live how we want to live, when we want to live, do it our way, and we don't care about some supreme being telling us what we should or should not be doing. So God says, okay, I'll give you what you want. But the problem is, when He gives us what we want, we really don't want what we get. Okay, that is where we are with the judgments of the tribulation. So we've got 7 seals. Here we go. Super, super quick to give us a running start. The first 4 seals of judgment are known as the 4 horsemen. And so there are 4 different colored horses and riders on those horses. The very first horse comes out white in color, signifying the Antichrist or a false peace. The second horse comes out with a broken seal, being red in color, signifying war and bloodshed. The third horse comes out with a 3rd seal as a black color and signifies famine. Remember I told you months and months ago, if you think inflation's bad now, I promise you ain't seen nothing
compared to what's coming when the Antichrist is on his throne. The fourth horse came out with the rider, and kind of a pale colored horse, and it represented death. And in that context, we find 1/4 of the world's population dies during this time of tribulation. The fifth seal is broken, and there we find that there's going to be a lot of believers who lose their lives just because they're holding fast to the testimony of their faith in Christ and holding fast to God's Word. So a lot of martyrs, a lot of killing of believers during this fifth seal. The sixth seal was broken. There was a great earthquake and terror all across the earth. And then there was an interlude. There was a pause in heaven, a moment of silence, and then the seventh seal was broken. And when the seventh seal was broken, that then ushered in the seven trumpet blasts of judgment. Now, when we turn to the trumpets, there's a kind of a reminder with this. Seven trumpets. The very first, the first four trumpets directed devastation directly to the earth or God's creation. The final three trumpets focus more directly at man on the earth. Okay, so we start off with the trumpets affecting the environment around us, and then we end up with more of a direct attack on the people of the earth. So let me give you those really, really quick for a running start. Trumpets are blown. This is back probably around chapter 8, somewhere in that time frame. And we see, first of all, that there is destruction and devastation. A destruction of 1/3 of the vegetation affecting the earth directly. The second trumpet is blown, and there you find about 1/3 of the sea is affected. There's going to be 1/3 of the marine life that dies, and 1/3 of all ships are destroyed on the surface of the earth. And you can imagine the destruction. Y'all think it's bad right now when China don't deliver your Walmart goods? You wait until then, when 1/3 of the ships are gone. The third trumpet was blown. This affected 1/3 of the rivers and springs, with folks getting sick and folks dying from the poisoning of those waters, fresh water. The fourth trumpet was blown. Again, you see the 1/3 there, the sun, the moon, the stars, 1/3 less light affecting all of these luminaries of the heavens. A fifth trumpet was blown, and that one is where we found a bottomless pit, the abyss. There was increased demonic activity. If you remember, it was during that judgment where there were these weird-looking locusts. The locusts would sting or bite a person, but would not kill the person, would only torment the person. Okay, that was number 5. Number 6 were the trumpets. Wow, we've got a 200 million man strong army. And in this great cataclysmic battle with this trumpet, 1/3 of mankind dies. Now do the math really, really quick. Don't forget this. With the seals, 1/4 of mankind died. With the trumpets, 1/3 dies. Do you realize at this point, 50% of the world's population is now dead? That's a lot of funerals, right? That's a lot of mass burials. This is tribulation, right? It is judgment on a wicked population that is turned away from God. So a 200 million strong man army. And then there is an interlude again, a quiet time. Once that interlude is complete, then you've got trumpet number 7. Trumpet number 7 gives you a picture of the reign of Christ, kind of proleptic, looking forward, the reign of Christ. But what it really does is usher in the final round of judgment. And that is a bowls of wrath, and that's where we'll be today. So after those 7 trumpets, there's another long interlude in the book from chapters 12 to chapter 15. That's where we learn about the Antichrist, the false prophet, the sits, the mark of the beast, all those types of things in that interlude. And then once we left that interlude in chapter 15, introducing the bowl judgments, the stage is now set for the final judgments of the Great Tribulation. Now that is in chapter 16. So where we are today in chapter 16 and picking up, this is going to show us through the eyes of John the last activity on the earth as we know it. We're at the very end. when you get through the seven judgments of these bowls being poured out, the very next event now is Armageddon and the return of Christ. So we're getting closer and closer to the end as we look at these bowls. Now let me say too, as we go through chapter 16 into 17 and 18, I'm going to kind of give you what I'm going to call a little bit of a warning. That's not exactly the right word, but let me say it again. In these chapters, it is extreme judgment. People years ago said, "Pastor, why don't you preach the book of Revelation?" I'm like, "Well, we can, but are you prepared? Because for about 2 years worth, every Sunday is going to be judgment, judgment, judgment." Okay, that's where we've been, and we are really going there now in chapter 16. So let's look at the verses. I'm not even sure how much to read. We'll probably get through one verse, maybe two today. My plan is two. We'll see what happens. We may or may not. So here we go. Here's what John says he heard and what he's going to see as we go into these bowl judgments. "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go your ways and pour out the vials or the bowls of the wrath of God upon the earth.'" Well, the first angel went and poured out his bowl, his vial upon the earth. "There fell a noisome or loathsome and grievous sore upon the men or the people which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image." Then the second angel goes out. The second angel poured out his bowl upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul, every living thing died there in the sea. Remember that at one time there's 1/4 death, 1/3 death. Now it's every single being in the sea. Okay? So it's getting very intense with the end of the judgment. "The third angel poured out his vial or bowl upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they too became blood." Now, I'm going to stop with that because we're not going to get past the first two verses anyway, and it kind of has a little bit of an explanatory section coming. So let's go back to verse 1. Set the stage. And what I really want to do today is get through the first bowl judgment. That's my plan. I really want to. I'm not sure it's going to happen. Let's look back to verse 1 and set the stage. Now, the Bible says when John, he hears something. Remember, his hearing is working. His eyes are working in this heavenly scene. And he says, "I heard a great voice." Now, I want you to notice there that word "great." Your English translation does not do justice to the text here. And so I'm going to kind of show you what happens with this word here. But the word "great" is repeated 11 times in this chapter. Now, to quote some of my law enforcement friends, when you see something repeated many, many times, the FBI would call that a clue, right? And so over and over in chapter 16, you find "great," "fierce," "great," "loud." So we don't see it in English, but if you had your English by your Greek Bible with you today, which I'm sure you read every night for your devotionals, but if you had your Greek Bible with you, you would see all through the text there that word "mega," 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 right? Great, large, loud, fierce, all through chapter 16, speaking of the intensity of the judgment. So John says, it's not just a voice I heard, it was a great voice I heard. And notice where that voice came from. It came out of the temple. Now here's my question. And there's lots of questions in the book of Revelation that I want to ask. Remember I told you, if you've got questions in life you need answers for, put them on what I call your rapture notebook. And if that notebook goes up with you when you go, you can ask your questions. If it doesn't go up with you, then maybe you didn't really need to know the answers. You'll figure them out. I don't know. But I might put this into my rapture notebook. And here's my question. Whose voice is that? It's just a question. I just want to know. Whose voice is that? Now, I'm going to tell you what I think. I think in verse 1, when John hears a voice, I think it's the voice of God Himself. Now, why do I say that? Well, if you look back in chapter 15 and verse 8, the very last thing we saw prior to this vision that John receives, he says that the temple there, the innermost place of the temple, the holiest place, was filled with smoke from the glory of God. Now watch this. And from his power, look, no man, no person was able to enter into that temple till the seven plagues, the seven angels were fulfilled. If there's nobody in the temple, and yet somebody's talking, and God's the only one there, it must be the voice of God. So John's like, I kind of wish I could tell you what it's like, but he says, I heard a great voice. We're assuming the voice of God. But let me show you one more thing about that voice. Look at verse 17 for just a minute of chapter 16. I love this. The last angel, number 7, pours out his bowl of wrath. And here's what the Bible says. John says the 7th angel poured out his vial into the air. And here we go again. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne. And that voice says, it is done. You know what's interesting to me? We get to these 7 bowls of wrath at the very end of the great tribulational period. Now watch this. It is a voice of God that starts it. And it is a voice of God that ends it. There's one on the throne, and from the innermost place where only God could dwell, John says, I heard a great voice that sent out the angels. And then when all that destruction is done, death and destruction all over the place, the same voice now says, it's done. It's finished. That's where we are in the book of Revelation. So here's what John says. Okay, I heard a great voice. It came out of the temple. And the voice is saying to 7 angels. Now, all through the book of Revelation, angels are very, very busy. There's all kinds of angels doing different things. Wow, that's a lot of different activities for the angels. And if you look back in chapter 15, verse 7, you'll find where the angels come into play with the bowls. So back in chapter 15, verse 7, John says, one of the 4 beasts or living creatures around the throne gave to the 7 angels 7 golden vials or bowls, and they were full of the wrath of God. Now in chapter 16, John says, I heard a great voice, and he said to those 7 angels, they received command directly from God Himself. God sends them where they need to go, when they need to be there, and how they need to move. And let me say in this context that this also provides a little bit of evidence for us that when the bowls are poured out, they are poured out, it appears, in rapid succession. Remember, there is an increasing intensity with this judgment. So I'm kind of, and I got this, we're going to use this each week because I don't want you just to think in abstract terms, right? John is trying to tell you what he sees. And sometimes, like, look, I don't have words. I can't explain exactly what it was, but it looked like this to me. And John says, I looked there, I heard a great voice. And he said, what I noticed was the 7 angels who had received the vials or bowls, man, they're already. Now, you answer for me. I don't know. Maybe some of you are artistic and you can help me with this. I said earlier, what does it look like for an angel to have lips? Because remember that the angels take the trumpets and put the trumpets to their mouth. I don't know what an angel looks like with a lip. I just never thought of it. Now watch this. John says, I looked out there and the 7 angels, each one is given some kind of a vial. Some kind of a bowl. Now how large was it? I don't have a clue. I don't think it was Tupperware. Tupperware went around back then, right? I don't know if Tupperware is going to be around at the end. I don't know. Was it a plastic bowl? Was it a glass mixing bowl? I don't have a clue. But as we go through these different bowl judgments, I want you to think about what John saw. Look, I can't explain it all the way, but a bowl. And the Bible says with that bowl, 7 angels, they've got the bowl. It says, now I want you to go your way and pour out your bowls. Now, if I've got this right, it happens in rapid succession. Now, I want you to think about it like this. We didn't go this year anywhere to see, like, large display of fireworks, per se. I had some neighbors that shot off illegal ones. Police never showed up, but still, anyway, they got by with it. And I know it happens every year. So we didn't do that. But, you know, if you go to a nice, large fireworks display, they kind of start off sporadic, right? Maybe we'll get 2 or 3, and then you get to the end. Oh, man. At the end, in some circumstances, you literally are watching your tax dollars go up in smoke. In some circumstances. Not always, but in some circumstances. But man, you get to the end, Now it's the grand finale. Now they just release everything, man. Every firework, everything is set up to go. And it's like, boom, 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 boom. That, I think, is a bowl judgment. See, now we had a seal broken. Things are happening. We've got a seal broken. Things are happening. Oh, we've got angels with lips blowing trumpets and things happen. Oh, there's another trumpet and something happened. But it looks like now, at this point, now it's like, hold on, seven angels, seven bowls, and here they go. Angel two, angel three, and it's keep on. Intensity is increases in the grand finale until God says at the end, it's finished. Seven angels. I heard him say, now look what he says to the angels. I want you to go. Can I tell you, I think one of the greatest goes in the Bible is in Matthew 28. Right? Somebody help me. Great Commission. Go ye therefore. Right? That is a command, right? It is an imperative. In fact, it's kind of got the participle thing going on where it's like, as you are going. So if you're at Food Lion, if you're at home, if you're at school, if you're in a music class somewhere, if you're wherever you are, as you are going, right, you are witnessing, you're making disciples. It's got that thing. But man, that word go is big in Matthew 28. Can I tell you the second place, in my opinion, the word go is real big? It's in verse 1. We're at the end now of judgment, and God says, all right, angels, you got everything you need. I've given you your bowls. I've given you the command. Here we go. I want you now to go. Now, you need to understand something here. To this point in the Bible, in my opinion, God has been very, very patient through the centuries. He's been very, very long-suffering. Listen to me. If you're playing games with God, and maybe you're in a place where honestly, when it's quiet and nobody's around, and you're like, Lord, I don't even know why you haven't struck me dead yet with the way I'm living my life right now. That's the patience of God. That's the long-suffering of God. We get to chapter 16. That's done now. Angels, here's your command. Go. Go your separate ways, right? Take your bowl, you're headed to the earth. Take your bowl, you're headed to the sea. Take your bowl, you're headed to the sources of fresh water. Take your bowl, you're going to affect the sun. Every angel now has a bowl, has a task, and has a command. The light is green. The flag is waved. And he says, go. Go your way. Sorry. Now what do we do? Here's what you do. You pour out the bowls, the vials. Now watch what they contain. They contain the wrath of God. Now, let me do this really, really quick. Remember I told you the trumpets? The first four trumpets affect creation, and the last three affect man. You know what happens with the bowls? It's flipped. The first four bowls now, as they go their separate ways, the first four bowls affect individuals directly. It's the last three that have more of an international scale to them. So it's going your ways and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God. Let me ask you a question, because I don't know the answer to this either. I got a lot of questions in the book of Revelation. If I could take a bowl, and inside of this bowl, or if I just draw an image, I don't know how this would look. You tell me, how would you draw the wrath of God that would fit into a bowl? Maybe this is why it's called apocalyptic literature, right? There's some hidden meaning and some mystery there and some symbol. I don't know what that looks like, but I do know this. Inside of these bowls, it contains one thing, and that is the wrath and fury of God. Now I'm going to apologize. I told you before, from chapter 16, the next couple chapters, it's going to be a lot of wrath of God and fury of God and judgment. And part of me wants to apologize. I don't want to discourage you, but this is just what the Bible says. But you know what I've also realized, and I think you'll understand where I'm coming from with this. Do you know the numbers of years in the bulk of churches? Where almost every single Sunday, this has been for years and years, decades, maybe longer, in churches on any given Sunday, Sunday by Sunday by Sunday by Sunday by Sunday, most people in churches across this land are fed cotton candy every week. I'll never forget Billy. Billy sent me a text maybe a year or two ago. It is still on my phone. It meant so much to me. And he said, "Pastor, I want to let you know I appreciate you preach the Bible and don't just give us sugary sweet things every Sunday." Listen, it's nothing wrong with emphasizing the grace of God, the love of God and all that. But I'm going to tell you, I think part of the problem in our land and really in our churches, and we've lost so much effectiveness, we've gotten so weak, I really think it goes back to the pulpits. And you don't very often anymore hear anything about the fact that God is just, that He's righteous, that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And so now what we're going to do in chapter 16 and on from this point, we're going to see what it's like to fall into the hands of a living God. It's a lot of wrath and fury of God. And that's what John says. Inside these bowls was a wrath of God. And notice where it's poured out. It is poured out upon the earth. That is a setting of the vision that John receives. Now notice, it's not just one locality. See, some of y'all, I know, and I'm like that too. Have y'all ever picked places on the earth where you would think God should like fry them on the spot? And I'm not going to say any places, but they come to mind. You know some of those places where like, anyway, you know what I'm talking about. In large cities, I'm like, "Lord, boom, boom, they're gone." You mean, right? But you know what this is? It says He's not going to pick certain places. The bowls, as angels pour them out, He says, it's going to cover all the earth. And you're going to see that next week. We look at the seas and we look at the sources of water and the scorching heat and the torment coming from the sun that's going to arise. And bowl, you're going to see all of that. So He says, it's the bowls of the wrath of God that is poured out upon the earth. And with that introduction, in verse 2, finally we get to the very first angel takes his bowl. Now, I don't have time, obviously, to go into that. We had to spend a lot of time catching up where we left off from months ago with the different judgments. What we're going to do starting next week, and I'll put it up here for now, but what we're going to do starting next week in verse 2, we're going to walk through these things bowl by bowl. And I'm going to try my best. I'm going to try my best to make it as real for you as I can. I do not want you reading the book of Revelation as if it's a comic book, because most people do that. All they see is images. It's all kind of symbolism. Don't look at it that way. I want you to see what John saw in this vision and how it's going to play out on this earth at the end of time. So I'm going to have to stop there. It's already afternoon. We got choir meeting, CIA meeting coming up. So we're going to stop there. But what we're going to do starting next week, we're going to see when the first angel goes out. Now, I want you to think about it this week. This is your homework assignment this week. I want you to think about, according to verse 2, what would it look like for running, what does it say there? Kind of running grievous, loathsome sores to break out on the human bodies of every person that's fallen after the Antichrist. The doctor's office are not going to be able to take care of it all. I can assure you of that. So we're going to do that, pick up with that, and we're going to move a lot quicker through it, but I had to give you a running start today since it's been a long time since we've been in the book and trying to catch us up. So we'll do that. So let's close as we pray together. And we'll head into different meetings and opportunities to serve. But as we bow today and close on this introduction to these bowls, this is an invitational time. You may have something on your heart to pray for today. You've got the altar available to you to do so. Maybe that you've got somebody in your mind today. We talked about it in our Sunday school class this morning. Folks that maybe years ago were in church, they're unchurched now. They're not maybe walking with Christ now. And it may be that you just need to pray for them today and maybe extend to them just a friendly invitation to come to church one Sunday. So you may have somebody in mind to pray for like that as we look at the seriousness of God's judgment upon the lost. You may have something on your mind that has nothing to do with the book of Revelation or end of time, but you just need to lift up in prayer before we go. And then just in case, today as we wrap things up, I'm just going to flat out ask you, can I do that? Just flat out ask you, are you saved? Does Revelation scare you? Does God's judgment scare you? I got good news if it does. Jesus died for you. He died on a cross. The kids learned about it all week. Jesus said you've got to be born again. Not just physically, but spiritually. And that comes down to you're simply believing that Jesus died on the cross for you. He was raised from the grave, and you're repenting of sin and just embracing Him by faith, making Him Savior and Lord of your life. And it may be this morning that you need to voice that quiet prayer in your heart unto your salvation, to embrace Christ as your Redeemer. I make myself available at the end of each service if you need to talk with someone about your relationship with God or your relationship to the church, need for baptism, anything like that. I'm always available after our services all through the week. Always can reach out. But I'm going to be quiet for just a moment. Give us some time to think, to pray, reflect. I'll close our prayer time and then we're going to be dismissed. Lord, thank You for hearing our prayers this morning, whether they were quickly shot up arrow prayers or maybe more involved that will go with us today as we leave. We know that You are omniscient. You know all things. You are omnipresent. You're everywhere present at all times. You are omnipotent. There is nothing that has been submitted this morning that is beyond Your power or Your authority. Do Your work in these lives and in these circumstances. We pray You do Your work here at Mountain View Baptist Church. Take us where You want us. Lead us where we need to go. Provide what is needed. And God, help us to be in step with Your will and Your purposes as we go through this upcoming week. Now, not just as a church gathered here, but as a church scattered out into the community. I pray Your blessings on each one for a good week, for a joyful week, for a week of answered prayer, for a week of just knowing God is good. And maybe with our VBS kids to remind ourselves, oh, magnify the Lord with me. May we carry that with us as we go. We pray together now. In the strong name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.